Well, thank you guys. First, thank you for the gift. I know this is laughable and I'm not meaning to laugh about this, but, we don't deserve anything from you guys at all. To Pastor New Hope here, with all the struggles of pastor that comes with the being a pastor and the broken hearts and the hurts and pains, being the pastor of New Hope has been one of the greatest privileges ever. And I thank God for that. And I wish that you guys had a better pastor. Where's Mike Boyette? There. We don't want a better pastor. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, thank you. And some of you may not know this, and I'm not going to go into a great detail with this, but, I had made a commitment to, we were going to redo Best Kitchen, and I was going to just make it happen and get, borrow whatever and redo it. And thank y'all. So, okay. All right. Second. Jeremy's birthday is tomorrow. Jeremy's going to be 9 years old tomorrow. Happy birthday, buddy. Let's sing happy birthday to Jeremy. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jeremy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy. All right, are you going to get pancakes or waffles in the morning? No? Maybe. If Daddy cooks them, right? Miss Kim's not here. She's not feeling good today, so I get to pick on her. So, but pray for Kim. Pray for Kim. Also, get your table talks. Don't go home without eggs. And there was something else that I was going to mention that I can't remember right now. So, today is a glorious day, and we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But today, October 31st, is a great day, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Halloween. Nothing. In 1517, as you guys know, this insignificant monk in Germany nailed 95 points on the door of his own church, the church that he was serving. And God used this monk, wasn't even a priest, but a monk, God used this monk and some other men, John Calvin, John Knox, and radically changed the world. Not just the church, guys, the world. Our political system that we're governed by here in America started with the reform mindset that came out of Geneva from these men putting together and going, how do we run a society that's made up of different people, different types of people and nationalities, And this is all from reform thinking. And as I was thinking and praying this morning, I got a little overwhelmed about this. But before I go and share with that a little bit, I wanna touch on something. When Martin Luther nailed the theses on the door of his church, the door in Wittenberg, there was something that was happening the next day, which is November 1st, Jeremy's birthday. The Catholic Church was struggling so badly, and people were, and you have to understand, the Catholic Church ruled the world. They were appointing kings. Like if the Pope didn't say yes, kings did not get appointed. Are you guys understanding? They were, and so there were all these countries, but the Catholic Church dominated over all of it. And God used this little German monk to light the whole world on fire. On November 1st, the Catholic Church had put out a new, they were going to try something else. Isn't it funny how church never has changed? Let's try something new to bring people in, right? Let's do this new and exciting thing. No, I'm being, this is how it was. They were going to unleash a new strategy, a church growth strategy. No kidding. November 1st, 1517, the Catholic Church as a whole was unleashing a new church strategy. It wasn't preaching the word and calling people to repentance. This was their new strategy to bring people in. They were going to have and send out, they were collecting new and exciting relics, and they were going to send it out to all the churches around the world. And then after a while, the churches were going to swap and they were going to organize this big thing. Now, this is what a relic is. A relic is anything that the church recognized as something of their spiritual heritage. And like, for instance, you've heard the joke, and this is really not a joke, it's the truth. They have said if you went around to all the Catholic churches in the world that have a piece, or that they say they have a piece of the cross, have y'all heard this? That you could build the Empire State Building with all the pieces. Do y'all get it? Thank you, Beth. They're lying. But they were going to send out all these different relics to all these different churches so that the priests and the leaders of each Catholic church could tell their community, hey, we've got a strand of St. Peter's hair coming. Don't you want to see that? So that was their church growth strategy. It almost sounds like, hey, we got this great rock band. Don't you want to come rock with us? Yeah. If you prayed for it and, you know, it took years off your purgatory, off hell. Yeah, that's true. So, thank you, Beth. That was coming on November 1st. So, October 31st, 1517, this little monk rose up and said, it's enough. This is wrong. The only thing we need is Jesus the scripture and God's grace in our, that we're missing it. And can I tell you, the only thing we really need still is the scripture, God's grace, and Jesus. Amen? I'll tell you this. I love music, but if we had nothing, if we did nothing but come in and teach and preach and pray and be that's all we don't. When we were watching those videos of the Chinese church, holy cow, that's all they have. And they're busting at the seams. They're busting at the seams. But you know, in America, if we're not entertaining, we're not doing it right. Okay, so get back to my story. So he nails these 95 theses, which, by the way, I asked Beth to post them on Facebook. Y'all can read them. You can go through. Listen, you did. Okay. Well, I asked her to do it. So I asked her, did you post that other article? You did? Okay. All right. So she posted the other article. She gets a 50. No, she gets 100. So anyways, so Luther seeing this coming, seeing the falsehood that the church was teaching and proclaiming, and Luther was saying, this isn't right. This is not right. And I want my people around this area to know the truth. So he nailed that 95 theses to the door, the front door, where everybody comes in, and it changed the world. God used it to change the world. I want you to read it. I want you to at least spend time, sit down, and go through it and read it. Last Wednesday, and maybe it was obviously by the providence of God, Chad had a mishap, and we weren't able to do our last Zoom class last Wednesday, but he's doing it this Wednesday, and he's going to cover the diet of worms. And this... So if you missed it, don't worry. You got a chance. And this, I think it was in April, of 1521 was when Luther stood up to when he was on trial. That's what the Diet of Worms was. He was on trial, life and death. And he stood up and said, I will not recant unless you can convince me by scripture, I will not recant. I will not repent. And they had all of his literature because by then, from 1517 to 1521, boy, had he, I mean, that little monk was busy. And they had all of his stuff on the table, which you're going to hear about this. And they called him to repent of it. And he said, I cannot. I can't. I cannot do this. And you'll hear the story is so exciting. You will be on the edge of your seat Wednesday. But that's our heritage. That is our heritage. That's what we believe. So if you can be there, please be there. Please participate. Learn about your faith that's been delivered. So with that in mind, before we do the Lord's Supper, I started thinking about this thought this morning, early this morning. What does the Reformation mean to me? What does it mean to me? How has this, and there's so much. I mean, I was writing and writing, even this morning, I was writing things, pages of stuff. But I thought, Brandon, you got to stop. You got to stop. And so I'm going to share some very deep thoughts in my heart. When I came to know the Lord, when the Lord saved me and called me by grace to Him, He graciously led me to a church that taught these doctrines. And I'm so thankful for that. If I ever believed that you could lose your salvation or that you had to have enough faith to make something work, or that it would have killed me. I would have worked myself to death. And I am so thankful that the Lord spared me from, and I'm going to say this, okay, from damnable doctrines like that. Because it's not right. It's not biblical. To think that you have to earn your right to stand before God, because I'm going to tell you, nobody can stand before God on their own merits. Amen? If God doesn't do it, like this morning, when Sonny was teaching, I was trying to hold myself back. Mephibosheth could not do anything. And David blessed him so, I mean, he went from not just being crippled, but in poverty, somebody having to just take care of him all the time in poverty, to being uber wealthy overnight. That's a picture of grace. And that was us. We are Mephibosheth. That's us. We can't get up. We can't do anything. It's not by might. It's not by strength. It's not by anything that we have done. It's not by how smart we are. We haven't figured anything else. It's surely the grace of God. Period. Period. And so here this sinner from the south side of Tallahassee who came from nothing and was nothing, and God saved and then delivered the Reformed doctrine to me. It gave me purpose in life. I saw God as great and mighty, and I saw me as nothing. And I saw the world and it helped me. It gave me handles to understand what was going on. It gave me handles to understand what's repentance, what's justification, what's sanctification, what is really the gospel, what do these things mean, how does it translate? And it's not just what I believe. It's who I am. Does that make sense? I don't just say I believe in Jesus. It is to the very core of my being. I believe Jesus is the only way. He is by his shed blood is it. And you may say, well, I believe that. And there's a lot of people that believe that. Then why do they try so hard to earn their way? And so I started thinking about my life and my marriage and my children and you guys. And do you know how many times, if you guys knew how many times other Reformed pastors that love New Hope, that love New Hope. A lot of you guys know who Vody Bachum is. Bill Tinker grew up in Houston, and Bill went to Vody's church and was talking to him after church. And Bill said, or Vody was like, now where do you pastor? And Bill said, in Pensacola. And Vody went, hey, there's this Reformed Baptist church east of you guys. It's in a little town. And Bill said, Marianne? And he goes, yeah. Why is there a Reformed Baptist church there? This is the deal. Because God wanted it, right? God wanted a Reformed church in this area because God's sovereign. And this is the thing. When they called me from New Hope, when they called me here to be the pastor, I told them, I said, hey, you need to know I'm a Calvinist. And they were like, well, what's a Calvinist? And I was like, oh, great. Because of this, it has changed my marriage, my family, you guys. My mom and dad, my dad. It is who I am. It's the gospel, the five solas. It is the gospel truth. And I was thinking about this. Faith alone. Understanding the difference between justification and sanctification. And if y'all didn't read Table Talk last month, you missed it. But understanding the relationship between those two things and how, what is the difference will set any Christian, true Christian, set them free. To understand that you are absolutely guilty, but the judge said not guilty. Not that you're innocent. You're not innocent. You're guilty. But him to say judicially you're not guilty means all the world. And to understand why you're not guilty. So faith alone by justification. That scripture, when Luther came to this position, he believed with all of his heart, and so did Calvin, and so did Knox. They were all in it together, guys. They believed scripture was for the common folks. And they even knew that when they started translating to deliver this that we have to you guys, that y'all would, we, I'm not saying you, I'm talking about us, that we would misinterpret it and mistreat it. They knew that. But they knew that it was better than leaving it up to priests. And they pushed. Did you know Luther was the first one to translate the Latin Mass into the common language for the people? And even right now, y'all don't know this. I doubt anybody here may know, but there's a huge battle going on in the Catholic Church right now with the Pope right now. Matter of fact, do you know the Pope served Biden the Eucharist? Part of that was what's happening right now, that there's a battle going on in the Catholic Church because there's some Catholics standing up saying we need to go back to the Latin Mass, because that's real. For us to do the Mass in the common language, we're really giving it over to the Reformation. That's happening today. And so Luther was like, this isn't right for the people to read read the word themselves, to hear scripture taught and preached in their own language. The people of God were coming to church and they would hear it in a language they didn't understand. And they were just told what to do. And so now Luther was saying, this is important, and the true Christians will be bound to this word. And it changed, it unleashed the ramification. That's the Reformation. That's Reformation theology. So the commitment to Scripture is first. Saying to yourself, no matter what I do in my life, no matter how I parent, no matter how I live my life, how I live my marriage, how I go to work, how I use my money, how I do this, how I want it to be under the guidance of Scripture. That this is all rule and authority in our lives. All of it. That's the Reformation. Amen? That's what the Reformation gave us. Is that saying this is all the rule and authority, but you've got to be able to read it. And now we have it in our language, and guess what we do? We don't read it. So what does it mean to me? Scripture. For a broken down pagan that didn't even learn how to read until he was in fifth grade. That's what it means to me. That I can open this and I can have the wisdom of Almighty God. And it doesn't matter the education that everybody else has. I can have the mind of God. Amen. It doesn't matter. Scripture for the common folks. This is something else. It gave power to each believer. The priesthood of believer. Listen, when Luther started gathering at Wittenberg with his people, and he started teaching and preaching to them and teaching them the Scripture and helping them to learn how to read, do you know what happened? They started praying together. They started praying together and reading Scripture together. And guess what else happened? Luther said, hey, what if we sing songs together? We just sang one of his songs this morning. You know, can I tell you all this? Do you know why I'm so committed to the hymns? Can I tell you? It's not because I think we can't change things and be more contemporary. That's not it at all. It's because these hymns have such good theology. We can't go wrong. And when you sing like Philip has been doing, guys, we've been singing straight out of the Psalter, straight out of Psalms. That's singing God's Word. That, you can't get more pure worship than that. But let me say this to you. All of this, all this newfangled, listen, Arminianism, semi-Pelagianism, all these things that have come out. Can I tell you? Listen, the charismatic movement, Pentecostal movement, that's all new theology. That's all new. It's all new. God can do whatever He wants, when He wants, with His people. Whenever. But all this contemporary worship stuff, I'm not saying, now it's gotten a lot better. I'm telling you, because of this, there's been a resurgence in Reformed theology and correct biblical teaching. Praise the Lord, right? Well, let's get more. Let's get new, but let's make sure it's doctrinally right. So what does it mean? Priesthood of believers. It means that we, you and me, that Brandon Griffin can sit before God with this scripture and bow his head in prayer, and I don't need anybody else to meet with God. Do you know how powerful that is? Amen. Well, we need to recapture that in the church. We need to empower each other. We need to say, are you spending time with Jesus? Are you spending time with His Word? Are you spending time with that? When Luther was teaching his people that, and they had never heard it because they needed a priest. Do you know what priest means? Bridge. It's a Latin word for bridge. They had been taught all their lives they needed a bridge, and they don't need a bridge anymore. So what does the Reformation mean to me? The scripture for ignorant, broken down sinner. What does the Reformation mean to me? It means I can sit down with the Bible and bow my head in prayer, and I can worship Almighty God. What does the Reformation mean to me? It means this. That I am called to preach the Word and teach the Word to you guys. That's my calling. That you guys are equipped. That I give you the Word as much as I can, as correctly as I can. That you are equipped to go face the struggles and the strife and the trials. We live in a fallen world, right? That you guys can go and live. It's changed me. And I thank God for it. Sola Scriptura. Sola Christus. Sola Gratia. Sola Fide. And Sola Dei Gloria. To God be the glory. This is a special day to me. And it means everything to me. And it has nothing to do with Halloween. Not one little lick. This day, because of one man who stood up for what's right, God changed the world. And this is what I say to you and I. If God could use one little monk, why couldn't He use New Hope? Guys, we're insignificant bunch of people, but we're way no insignificant as Martin Luther, right? So why couldn't He use us? This is a special day for me. I pray that October 31st, if it's not already, will be a special day for you. This morning we're going to come and we're going to take the Lord's Supper today. And I normally read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I know, I hope y'all don't get bored with this. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And there's a reason that I read from this. And I made a commitment long time as a young pastor, that I told God I'd never serve the Lord's Supper without reading this. I didn't know I was going to serve it like 1,000 times. You know how when you're young, you don't think about 40 years down the road. You remember that? Y'all know that? You think, oh, I'll be dead by then. 50's old. I remember thinking that. Oh, I'll be dead by 50. You know? And now I'm sitting there going, Lord, I didn't know what I was saying when I made this commitment, but there's a reason why, and the heart behind me making this commitment to the Lord was right. And this is the heart behind it. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is the most clear, precise teaching on the Lord's Supper. It's the most clear teaching out of all the passages that cover that night when Jesus broke the bread and gave the wine. It's the most clear and precise teaching of what this is about. The reason why we do this. The reason why the Lord called His church to do this. It's clear in it. Now, is there a lot of misunderstanding? Yes. But not at New Hope. We're not. We're not going to misunderstand it. We're not going to do it wrong. And we're going to do it right. And it's a gift. This table is a gift to the church. To encourage you. To challenge you. To use it as a tool of evangelism. To ask God for God to call His people to repentance. And for us to worship together. It's a tool. So let's read this together. And then I'm going to give you a couple of points. And then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. So 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to start with verse 23, and I'm going to read down to 32. This is what it says. For I received, this is the Apostle Paul penning this through the power of the Holy Spirit and delivered to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now listen, just stop right there for a second. We're all unworthy. Nobody's worthy. But you're worthy as a believer, as a child, by the grace of God. Okay, but let's keep reading. But let a man examine himself. That's why we share with you guys all the time. That's why we make an announcement. That's why we say ahead of time, "Hey guys, we're having the Lord's Supper on this day." So that you guys can be examining yourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can go through and ask yourself, who do I need to go to? Who do I need to go to, what do I need to talk to my wife? Do I need to talk to my kids? Is there a buddy or a friend? Is there a coworker? Who do I need to go to get things right before I come to this table? It's serious. And do you know what? Partaking of this table, when you partake of this table, you're saying, I'm okay. I've let this go. I've forgiven you, honey. I've forgiven you, Beth. Thank you. I was waiting for that. But when we come to this table, that's what we're saying. Do you understand? So when we come to this table and we are harboring unforgiveness in our heart, that's when it gets serious. Are you with me? Here, let's keep reading. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the word. Now let me give you this word of warning. We are all sinners. You are not going to work through every little thing. You're not. You're not going to even remember most of the things that you've blasphemed against the Holy God. Matter of fact, most of the stuff that's so you're not even aware of how much you have blasphemed to a Holy God. But this is the deal. Forgive each other. Forgive each other. Love each other. Run to this table. Use it like it's supposed to be used. Let it go. Forgive them. Love them. Care for them. Pray for them. And come. I'll tell you this. Do you know, I believe if the Church of the Living God could get a better perspective of the ordinances that God has delivered to the church, we could see revival happen. If just in this room, if husband and wife that came down here to take this the cup and the bread would take it serious, it could radically change their marriage. Just this morning, taking the cup and the bread could change your marriage this morning. If you took the Lord's forgiveness serious. If you said, Lord, you've really done this in my life. How am I holding this against my wife? Right? Lord, you've done all of this in my life. How can I be mad at my kids, even though they're knuckleheads? And why do they keep doing that? And I've told them, and I've taught them, and I. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. This is a chance for revival. If we really, really partook of this correctly and really in your marriage and in your family and in your church family, what do you think? Let me ask you seriously, what do you think would happen if God's people, and I'm talking about this is a table just for the people of God. This isn't a table for everybody. This is just for believers, period. What if the believers just in this room right now, this morning, really came repenting of their sins, what do you think their Heavenly Father would do? As a child of God, when you ask God to forgive you, what does He do? Forgives you. Isn't that revival? Right? This right here is a chance for unity in your marriage, in your family, in our church. This right here is a chance for revival in your marriage, in our church, in your family. This right here is a gift, and it has nothing to do with the blood or the juice and the bread. It has everything to do with doing what's right before God. And when we do it together, repenting together, God hears that. I'm going to tell you right now, God's not going to turn away when you ask Him, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Help me, Lord. Help me to love my wife better. Help me to love my children better, to love my church better, the members better. Help me to do this better. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. And so this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for revival. And in this passage, and when Jesus did this, He said, remember me when you do this. So when you take a hold of that cup, you're recommitting your life again to Him. You're remembering what He did on the cross. That His body was broken and His blood was spilled for you and I. Amen? Let's get after it. Let's get after it. Believer, this table is for you. I hope you have examined your heart. Let's do it joyfully together. I've asked Leo that if he would to just play some music silently or quietly. Silently is. Yeah, can you play music silently, Leo? No. Yeah. Gosh, I'm so messed up. Y'all need a better preacher. Yeah, I know. I told Mike Boyette, even after the Lord takes him home, there's going to be that, you know, that's going to be the first chapter in my book when I write it. And I'm going to write it about y'all. And I'm not going to change the names to protect the innocent. Cause there ain't no innocents in here. But you guys, this table is for us. And it's for us to remember what the Lord has done in our lives. And it's for us to use it as a tool to drive us to holiness, to love each other rightly, to forgive one another. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and then Leo's going to play quietly, and then I will tell you when to come up. And if you would just come forward, either way, it doesn't matter. And take a cup and then go sit down and wait. Don't do it. Let's do it all together. Okay. And I will lead us at the end and we'll partake of it all together. And then I'll pray and then we'll go home. We'll go home. All right. Let's pray. And then Leo will play music quietly. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this table. Thank you for this day. This day, 504 years ago, when you called that monk to nail those points to the door. Thank you for the gift. For men that you filled with your Spirit that stood for what was right no matter what. Lord, please do that. Lord, I pray that you would do that in the homes that make up New Hope. To all the men here today, that you would do that. Help them to stand up for what's right in their marriages and with their children and in their homes, and that they will stand and take the gospel and not be swayed or moved. And that we will do that here in Marianna, Lord. Please. And in Marianna, Jackson County, all the five counties, Lord, that you would just, the gospel would spread here. Start here. Thank you, Lord, for this table. Thank you for what it represents, that it reminds us of what you have done on the cross for us, that it reminds us, Lord, that you have not only forgiven us, but that we, more importantly, need to forgive others. Lord, is it possible that today, you will start a revival in our hearts? Please, Lord, do. Do this. Please don't leave us to ourselves. Do this work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This section would go first. Okay, anyone else? You can come forward. and glory. I'll tell you, I cannot wait till, not that this is abnormal, but I cannot wait for us to get back to intinction, is the word, the theological word, where we serve the bread and dip it in us. Because I miss being able to hug you guys and tell you how much I love you, and us talk just a little brief word of encouragement. And we are going to get back to normal. Amen. But I'm thankful for this and for us to do this. And this is what God has called us to do together. Amen. So if you would, y'all see the top layer first. Don't rip the tab off yet. Don't open the juice. I know you winos. Y'all want to get to it. So here's the wafer. This, I know, I did it again. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you, Gina does. Gina loves me though. Okay. This represents our Lord's body that was broken for you and I as believers. Let's take it together. Okay, be careful when you don't spill the blood. All right. I'm going to wait till y'all look up at me if you've got the top pilled, y'all ready. Okay. This represents, this juice, a little bit of juice represents our Lord's blood that was spilled for you and I, for the remission of our sins, to cover us, that we, something we could not take away ourselves, He washed away for us. Amen. Let's take this together. Gene has a bag, trash bag, if you would like to go by and just throw it away. You guys, I love y'all. This is a glorious day, Reformation Sunday. Now listen, we're going to take the Lord's Supper again, Christmas Eve, together, okay? If you're in town, be here. Let's do this together, Christmas Eve, okay? And we're going to do it together, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. So if you need some time, if you did not partake of the table today, and you need some time to get some things right, do that. Use it, okay? Use this table for what it's supposed to be used for God's glory. And then we'll take it again on Christmas Eve. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this gift, this ordinance that you have given us. Thank you for what it means. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to run to you. And Lord, as we leave this place, I pray, Lord, that we're not hypocritical. That as we leave this place, we have just confessed our faith, that we believe that you have died on the cross for our and covered our sins, and that we're forgiven, and Lord, that we're going to live like truly forgiven people, which means we forgive. Help us to leave this place honoring you and giving respect to you, and do this miracle, Lord, in our marriages, in our homes, in our church, for your honor and glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.